Blog Talk Radio.
Mountain. Yes, Lord. I'm doing my
Pilgrim Returns.
We'd like to say good evening to our listening audience. Let's please bow our head as we say the Lord's Prayer. Well, you got to get up and go down. Let's bow our heads as we say the Lord's, let's respect the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debt, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but please deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good evening. Good evening, listening audience. Today is Thursday, September the 20th, 2012. Your host, Ministers Lewis and Felicia Dixon Newman. We're talking to you live on Blog Talk Radio, live from Michigan. And tonight, we are scheduled to talk about the current events today. Before we begin, we ask that Minister Lewis give us a brief 1 to 2 minute commentary. Thank you.
Well, let's say we have a commentary on current events. That's the problem. We can't tell what's current. You know, like events are just, you know, now we want to know current events, because that way we might be able to explain, you know, the scene behind the scene, or the reason for the reason. But, I guess we're hearing things. I want to elaborate a little bit about, I hear this guy that's being executed, black guy.
Well, yeah, you know, we talked about that, Minister, a few days ago. We talked about Terrence Williams, who, he's been molested by men ever since he was about 6 years old. But this one particular man came in his life, and he murdered him. He's from Philadelphia, the young man. And you know, as we were saying on a previous show, the man that he executed, even his widow has come forward and said she don't want this young man to be executed. He's from Philadelphia, and he has been denied clemency, and he's scheduled still for execution on October the 3rd. The vote was unanimous from the Pennsylvania Board of Pardon. The vote was 3-2 in favor of a life sentence without parole. Tom Dogino of the Philadelphia DA office said Monday that he was surprised that the 3 votes were cast against putting him to death. He said he think that it's pretty clear
he's an old
then if it hasn't happened to you, then it's going to probably happen to you somewhere along the line if you any type of righteous person. But I don't think murder go either way. He shouldn't have murdered, and then the state shouldn't murder him. I think he's suffering by being on death row.
Well, back to the same point, I hear that Chicken Filet has stepped down from following an actual teaching of Jesus Christ to the point where that's what it takes in order to do business. You know, we're going to not mix business with politics. I mean, politics, church and state don't mix. That's what I understand it before. But what we are trying to state, what are we stating? Are we trying to say to the world that homosexuality is a norm? It's something that is going to be, like I say, how can they be vigilante against us and we don't have a right to defend ourselves? I'm just speaking in terms of...
We are being vigilante against them. You know, just like, I haven't taken back what I said yet. They're a bunch of punks. They're a bunch of fags. You know, I am. But how much more vigilante can you be? You know, I'm not going to take back what I say even years from now. I'm gonna be meaning the same thing. You know, we are being vigilante toward them. You know, they are talking about what a person don't have a right to say and what a person don't have a right to do. It's always a way to deal with anybody, you know. And so why is it so important to them that everybody go along with homosexuality? Who knows and who cares? Because I'm not going to go along with it. Let everybody go along with them, but, you know, God is God. God ain't trying to be God. And that's what I was afraid about. Even in the very beginning with the Chicken Filet, that's why I'd be very skeptical with white people, too. You know, just like, that's what I was saying on one of my shows. I was saying, well, you know, I commend this man for coming forward, trying to make a stand. But see, white people are very scared people. Just like black people are very scared people. But white people are more scarier than black people. And so that's what I was saying at my show one time, on one of my shows, when I was saying that, you know, I said, I hope that he's not coming forward to try to offset what we're trying to do. And so that's what you have to be, you know, on the lookout for. I don't depend on nobody to go along with me. I commend people for what they do. But, you know, I have to just watch people and just see what do they do, because most people, they're just not going to be able to stand in the end. You know, a lot of people think that they can offset your course, but see, what God got for you is for you. If it's what God chooses for you to do, you are the only one going to do it. A person can't perpetrate what you're doing. That's just like if, that's why the Bible said don't covet. You know, don't be trying to get out and do exactly what it's okay to admire people, but don't take that to an all-time low, because you're going to run into a situation because you're just not that person. Don't get out trying to talk about you finna be militant, you finna be this, and you ain't got a fighting piece of blood in your bone. You know, the fight that we talking about, you gonna have to be a man on. I ain't talking about no punk. I ain't talking about no somebody that's just trying to run up and think that they can do something. You know, this battle is not ours. This battle is the Lord. And you got a lot of people jump out and get into things because they are trying to deal with what you call glory seekers. You got glory seekers and. But then they can't stand that heat. See, black people got a long history. That's why I'm surprised at them, that they're so weak-minded now. And I'm really trying to talk to the 80%. But black people got a history of doing without. Black people can eat beans out of cans and survive. So we just got a history of being strong people. It's in our blood. It was transferred to us from our forefathers, from our foremothers. You know, it was just transferred, so it's going automatically. We automatically got fight in us. Either average black person can fight. Now, why they turning into homosexuals, I have no idea. But I know it's somewhere in them. I know it's somewhere deep down inside. So the chicken filet man, you know, it's probably just more than what he thought it was going to be. Because this thing is big. This goes all the way up to God. People around here using God's name and talking about the Lord. Hey, love the Lord. Hey, this thing is big. God going to see how much you love him. The first little heat that some people get, they just going to run. That's just something. You just got a bunch of scared people.
Well, that's what main things we are trying to, especially if it's coming out of any type of a negativity. We don't want to say, well, time is the best fortune teller. We want to be intelligent enough not to see a lot of things that father, you know, that we are trying to bring to us. We're just only saying, hey, like, we are a very fortunate people, especially when it comes down to the aspects of doing enough, of doing a living, being able to live in the presence of God, and at the same time, grow toward perfection. So we don't want to go too far, and with just the common sense factor, now it came for, because we have not a book history, not a writing history, but we have a living history of the last 30 to 40 years, some of the same people. History is our experience, you know, and we need to really take advantage of that while we are alive.
Because if you think about it, and I'm not trying to talk against Mitt Romney, but I got to tell you the truth. See, Mitt Romney, was never my candidate of choice. I want people to understand closely to what I'm saying. Even though I'm going to vote for him, he never was my candidate of choice. You know why? Because of the fact that I sense weakness. I sense 1 year he on one issue, the next year he on the next issue. See, it's a lot of, you know, just like people want to try to pretend like they're powerful. You go up and slap them, they fall. There's no fighting them. I don't mean slap them physically. I'm talking about slap them in general with life. People really cannot communicate. Them people in position. A lot of people think them people got sense. Them people crazy. They need to be an institution. I have talked to them. So, like, when I went around Hank Sanders and his little set. They love to go in the community and call people crazy, but I was surprised at how those people just don't even have it. They got enough nerve to try to call me crazy. I was really actually surprised that, wow, you know, I was looking for the punchline in conversation, thinking that, you know, I got to be intellectual to talk to these people. There's no intellect there. And the more they look like, the higher a person go up in life, the weaker that they are. The higher they go up, the weaker they are. And so, I just feel like, just like you say, that's just I appreciate the man with chicken filet, but. See, I found out something about white people. See, white people, and that's not me being smart. It isn't me telling you something outside about them. See, white people, you want to jump out there and take the lead role in something. They want to take the lead role in something. If they think it's coming to an end and they can seek some type of glory for what somebody has worked for. But see, this thing is not that simple. That's what a lot of people don't understand. When they be getting around talking about they finna talk about homosexuality. They finna do this. They finna do that. I know for a fact they're gonna have to be exclusively from God to deal with this. But this is not no cakewalk. Don't you think for 1 second that this is a cakewalk for Minister Lewis and Felicia? This is not a cakewalk. And so, and I definitely don't. And the people that a person that chosen for a path like this, the prerequisite of this particular path, meaning that what you have to get on a path like this, you have to really, really, really be ordained by God to really walk through this. You have to be a person that God selected for this. You can't be a person popping up here today talking about you finna talk about homosexuality. And then tomorrow, you know, in other words, you got to be talking this every day. And you got to really wait on the Lord. And some days going to be dry. Some days going to be wet. Some days you're going to feel the Lord. Some days you going to think you ain't feeling it. But he's there. And so, this is not a cakewalk. This is not a cakewalk like people may think. You know, you can go around and talk about who you are, but you really don't have to be who you say or who you trying to fool me like you trying to be who you are. And so that may be what happened to the chicken filet man. He just probably just don't have the balls to fight a fight like this. To fight a fight like this, you got to have really fought in the past. And I'm talking about fought things that most people don't overcome. Listen to me closely. You pretty much gonna have to. I ain't talking about no easy life. I'm talking about you gonna pretty much have to be a person that overcome things that most people don't overcome. You're going to have to be an accomplished thing most people just don't accomplish. So.
Well, I guess that's pretty much where we are in a situation where the only thing that we could possibly come up with is not that we would be expecting Romney, once he become president, to just to do what he do every day, basically. You know, it's not like he is really going anywhere. It's almost like in the slogan where don't go to the mountain, bring the mountain to you. It's like he pretty much have pretty much a lot of experience in the world. When have a person to have an offshore account. Is he the first president that had an offshore account at the time he was running for president? I think the Kennedys might have been well enough to have that kind of money, because I heard that they were into they were into a lot of stuff economically. They were very rich people. They were appearing as Democrats, but they was like a very rich Democrat. But at the same time, just the mystery of what would be going on would be better than what's going on now, because people don't know how. If you can't dispense justice in your own land, in your own house, how can you do it abroad? How is it? Are we really just that stupid? Are we thinking that America is some type of little flim-flam, a Ponzi scheme? It's not a Ponzi scheme, Not when it comes down to actual facts. And then we can't write out even the aliens that were here in this particular physical location. America is not going to, America is the idea that supposedly, rise to the occasion of elevating civilization. I mean, period. Now, you can't do that being you can't really do it being strictly in any fashion. Not in a sense, speaking in terms of homosexuality. Well, chicken leg guy, they think some people have tried to take politics and just try to make more out of it than common sense. Well, politics will be something to combine the effort of people in a civilization for the right reason in order to advance itself.
So what do you think about how
do you
make that sound,
Sparrow? I found a lot of scrutiny from homosexuals, or from, you know, but I can't, from homosexuals, I guess. I can't imagine being from the government, because I can't really understand how do the American government allow allow that to go on in Selma by homosexuals. You know, it's homosexual racketeering, so that's what it really is. You know, when you got homosexuals in every position, they're out on the street talking about, well, you know, people bullying us, you know, as if, in other words, they call themselves confusing society. You know, it's possible that they confuse society even to 9/11. And who wants to even talk about something like that? But if that's what has to be talked about, then, you know, that's just, I guess, hey, it's better to talk about that than for it to arrive again. And so it's just a sad, and then people now in this country, they're trying to make it a third world country because homosexuals are persecuting people. But just because they're not homosexual, and it's being allowed through government, it's not like a secret thing. It's like a part of, you know, it's ignorance. It's sheer ignorance. And then, especially if you stand around trying to figure out what, something terrible happens, then you look around. Why did that happen? You know, that's why we got the mentality of some people now, you know, committing some of the horrendous acts. Just like the guy at Penn State, and then FBI caught him, sent him here and there. He's not coherent to a fact of, you know, well, why are they bothering me? I mean, it's just like they say, well, they began to be vigilante, I guess, to the point where they said he did more good. Well, why was that necessary for him to do that? You know, for him to do the things good, was that what made that person? I don't believe it.
Well, one thing I can say about the whole situation, you know, I can't imagine. I'm finna make my money, and I'm gonna tell a homosexual, I ain't gonna give my money no more marriage organization. Well, a homosexual gonna get their money toward marriage between man and woman, but they support the people that they. But see that's why I even feel funny about rapping it. You know, I feel funny when it comes down to white. And I have to tell you this in general anyway, because just like in Selma, Robert Bob Armstrong, black people went out and voted for this old siren. You know, he white. Only thing he doing is persecuting young blacks. I know he is persecuting families. Long as you a sissy or you don't have a family or you don't, you know, long as you discombobulated, he can feel like a little man. But if you any kind of man, you got any kind of family, you got any type of decency about yourself, that's when you see the other side of him. See, a few black people may not really see the side of him because they ain't doing nothing. If you a woman, got 3-4 children, no man in the house, hey, that you make Bob feel good. Your husband, old stinking homosexual, he feel good. You know, if you just a old broke down woman, Bob feels good. But if you any type of decent, normal person that's trying to live an American life, then that's when you gonna see little Bob. And so that's what I feel funny about white people. They get into positions and they start talking. They get into positions that are very important pertaining to black. and then, you know, they can't really do nothing. They just real scared people. And that's what I think has happened to this Chick-fil-A man. See, he just real scary. You know, how he gonna go from God finna put his judgment on you to he agreed not to put his money. So that, you know, that's too phony. And I said it from the beginning. I said, now I appreciate what he's doing, but I just hope that he's not out there. He's not just trying to run around offset what I'm trying to do. And he agrees to cease his funding to marriages. That's weak. God, he gonna be the first one God put to, you know. They think they're gonna go somewhere with that, you know. It might take God a while to really deal with a lot of these issues, but you know, y'all really gonna have to pay for these little punkified moves that you're making. Because, you know, nobody, that's why people don't want to really talk. That's why people don't want to be involved with people when they talk about homosexuality. Because that move he made, that's almost like an Eddie Long move. That don't make no sense. Really. That's why people don't want to fool with people when they talk about homosexuality. Because they find that they dare reflect.
Right, well, you know, yeah, well. But the thing about the high seat in the world, now we're gonna have to we have to dot a few I's and cross a few T's. You just can't. I have to do like my man did the other night. Get me a pull out the chair. Pull out the chair and talk to the chair. You know, it just don't make sense. You know, when it's not, everything is pointing in what, we don't even know what direction. They say, well, no, everything seems to be, as long as we are unjust, it'll be all right. No, and how is that? You know, is that, we you know, there's no need of us assuming we can go any further. That we can't build on what is right, that we cannot dispense what is just. You know, if we're going to allow, you know, regardless, okay, we are saying, I guess it goes back to what they call adverse possession. Okay, even in adverse possession, righteousness is still what rules, because it just cannot exist without it. And that's why, you know, a man could put some, man has some values that's instilled into the civilization from some inkling. It might be just a thread. But it's there. Okay. Now, if we as a country, you know, do something like, well, we need to first acknowledge that, hey, it's just wrong on some of the directions.
And you know, Minister, but you know what to me about people more than anything? I'd rather for a person to turn me down. And I know a person don't mean me no good than the anxiety of waiting to see what they're going to say. Now, that's real crazy. But I'm so glad to know about the different psychologies that people try to use. Because that didn't make no sense for that chicken filet man to come out and say what he said. And now, you know, What do Huckabee got to say about that? Well, Huckabee had a National Chicken Filet Day. What do you got to say about that?
Oh,
kind of restaurant. I haven't heard. Matter of fact, that just happened, I guess, this morning. I haven't heard what. How can we come on tonight? Do we come on tonight sometime?
I think you come on the weekend.
On the weekend. Well, he probably will have to say something, I guess, for saying it to it. Well, maybe that is.
Yeah, but one why Robin said, no, nah, he ain't going to get involved with the Chick-fil-A fight. He'd rather just stay out of it than be cloning like that.
Yeah, one thing about Robin said that he was prepared for this test. You know, like, you know, he act, but Robin tried to act like he just stumbled into where he at, you know, and he's just trying to straighten himself up. But sometimes I think Robin was, his father prepared him for this, some type of way. But at the same time, that's the odd part about how he act. You know, he act just like he's just a scrape sometimes, like he just stumbled, you know, it's wonderful. If it wasn't for y'all, I probably wouldn't have to, I wouldn't have to do that, you know. But it's just something I'm just trying to do for y'all, because you just ain't got some stuff to do that for yourself. And that's pretty much the way it's panning out. The problem is that was the same thing that happened with my twin, but look what happened. I guess you learn the lesson of your life in the last 3 years. I bet you won't get in gear. I bet you'll get in gear now.
But you know, but that's why I don't fool around with people no more when it comes down to fighting. Because I didn't know people were so scared. My granddad told me that, though, before he died. He said, Felicia, he said, you know, we went to church one Sunday night. Bunch of black folk filled that church up like they were going to do something. He was explaining to me how he went down in history as the legendary Courageous Eight. He said, oh, they were just a tough. And a tough. And a tough. Everybody supposed to meet back the next day. Then eight people show back up out of a whole. You know how big Tabernacle is, right?
Yeah.
Then when 8 people show back up, and we're willing to put their life on the line, put their livelihood on the line, put their family on the line, and my granddaddy was one of those people. And so, when I can start getting into it with people, with white people, to be honest with you, in real estate, my granddaddy told me, he said, Felicia, black people is a very peculiar people with his exact term. He said they just not gonna you know, I thought, sure, I'm gonna show you how naive I am. I'm just thinking, sure, you know, they around talking, yeah, we need a black real estate out. We need it. So you know I ain't finna think no white. That's why I kept talking about the Chick-fil-A guy. That's why I kept saying, I said, wow, you know, that's good. He is a person who got money, and they actually fixed the fight. That's why I was saying that like that. Because I wanted to see, because I know some black people that what you call bad. I'm talking about some black people that's bad and won't even fight. And talking about a white man with money and a privileged life. No, I couldn't really see that. I wanted to see that all the way out. But that's why I be saying, like, black people be saying, when white people be saying they got black friends. That's why I be curious. I believe people can be civilized together. But I be very curious about the friendship part, because I'm not fixing to stop talking because you're sitting around. So you can sit around. I'll be civilized. I don't try to bash people or banter people. But what I got to do, but see, I have to do what I have to do. It's not going to be no long drawn out. Talking about we friends. You know, I be wondering what exactly do they mean by they got black friends. Because, see, even if a black person crazy, something's going to come up along racial lines. It's just a natural thing. Something's going to ease into the conversation. You know, what you going to say? So, and that comes up. It don't come up it's not like a premeditation type of thing. It's more than I got a nation, you got a nation. I got a history, you got a history. You know, to me, it's more like a nature thing going to take place on my part. A nature thing going to take place on, especially when we start talking about. We finna idle and start pretending like ain't nothing going on. Now, I think blacks and whites can get together and do business, and maybe do whatever else they have to do. But I think when you start having conversations and mediations and without purpose, then that's when the trouble starts. That's when all the problems start, when you start trying to get together, trying to pretend like ain't nothing happening. Now, you say, okay, well, we got to do this, we got to do that. That's cool. But when you start idling your time, talking, it's like, okay, you white or black, and we start trying to talk right. I guess I'm talking about the black person. Black people are the ones that I observe that do stuff like that. Now, black people love and go and sit around white people to try to pretend like nothing is going on when just 5 hours ago, white folks were every crack in the book. You see what I'm saying, Milch? See, black people good for that. And I'm white folks, and then when a white person comes around, they're a whole nother person. You know, It's not about this conversation that you just had. You know, it's just
people get emotionally involved in so many things. You'd be shocked. You know, that's a typical joke on what they're saying. That's, in other words, that's normal for people to have. It's almost like you got a girlfriend. You could pretend
to
this person until the girlfriend show up.
No, that's not what I thought. That I thought that's what you thought I was saying. That's not what I'm saying.
That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Basically, that could be what you.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
This is what I'm trying to say. I know that black people and white people get together for what? Business. Sometimes they get together for sex. Sometimes they get together. My point is, when they start crossing lines and getting, this is what I'm trying to say. When they start saying, well, we finna get married. When they start saying, well, let's go drink a beer together. When we start getting past, in other words, no purpose no more. When we start leaving our purpose.
Right, but see, in a situation like that, that's not what we're even remotely speaking about. Those, you know, we're speaking about, we're trying to communicate.
Now, let me tell you something, Melissa. Okay, let me stop you in your tracks right now. First of all, I know what I'm saying, okay? I know what I'm saying. Now, if you got a point that you want to make about what you're saying, then you make that point. But Felicia know exactly what she's saying. I know exactly what I'm saying now. I can see black people and white people getting together for a purpose to do business. I talk about it all the time. But when they start crossing lines of marriage, I'm saying they can get married together. They fixing to do things, what you call unorthodox, almost like homosexuals. Then this is where the problem going to arise at. See, the reason why the problem going to arise is because other black people not gonna like your views, just like when the black white person takes the black person over the community. They got white people over there not gonna go along with their views. It's just chaos.
Yeah. When we're speaking about those, the people who are reborn, basically understand enough about God in the sense of speaking. These are the kind of people we are trying to communicate with. I understand exactly what you're saying, but there's a point I will still make.
Well, you got to make your own point, just like I have to make my own point. My America, there are 47% of the people who will vote for the president, no matter what. Mitt Romney, okay, they quote it because they believe that they are victims and government has a responsibility to care for them, Mitt Romney. Well, you know, that's what Obama got to do. You know, Obama got to come up with something because he hadn't done anything. You know, Obama gonna have to go through and try to get, see that's what Obama is just trying to create a smoke screen and tip his long-legged self back in office. That's all Obama trying to do. He's just trying to take that statement. But see, if I was Mitt Romney, I'd go find that white man, Larry Sullivan, and have him to come forward and explain and prove that him and Obama was in the back of a limousine. That's what I would be talking about. See, I wouldn't be talking that stuff. Obama wanna get nasty, I get nasty. I wouldn't be talking about that stuff Obama talking about. Obama just talking like that because Obama don't have a record. I don't want to hear that. Like, Obama keep on talking about, well, Mitt Romney don't connect with the people. Mitt Romney saying that Mitt Romney. Okay, I don't want to hear about, hey, Mitt Romney just said what Mitt Romney going to stand for. Now, we would like to know, I want to know about Obama's record. You know, what has Obama done? Can you tell me what Obama has done? I mean, I really would like to know. And so, that's what Obama up to. Obama's just up to, he is basically just don't have a record to run on. He just ain't got nothing to stand on. And that's generally what black people, so I'm used to black people getting into different offices and start talking about the white man. And is that why they want to bum old long-legged black self up there? You may not believe that. But I talked about that, and I preached about that. That's why they want to bum up there. You know what? I knew Obama wasn't going to do nothing. I knew he couldn't do nothing. I knew them white folk were going to take the White House and take it around the corner and put another house up there. I already knew that. And I knew Obama was going to be hollering and screaming, sounding like a little, I'm going to say witch. I can't use the other word. Sounding like a little witch. And when it's time for re-election, he's going to be talking about the white man. Well, you know, I ain't had no time. You know, the stuff was messed up. That's why people voted for you, fool, because the stuff was messed up. The stuff was messed up, and I just had to, I inherited a lot. So he inherited, showing up a lot now. And so that's why I didn't really want Obama in, because I knew Obama was going to get around here and try to see. Black people be bragging. I'm going to tell you something I know now. I'm not telling you nothing. Reason why I know this, because I'm black, and black people talk around, black people in position have talked around me because they were under some type of impression that I was going to join on to what they were doing. See, that's where the problem came at. That's why I know what I know. Black people brag about, they have to keep black people hyped up, keep them working and keep them voting. That's a joke in the black community. A year before election time, they even got the constituents saying that the Webb child, he's coming up for re-election. Now I can get these streets paid. Now I can go get over here and get me some money. Now I can get this, now I can get that. That's a joke. And black people still falling for it. A year before election time, 6 months, a year before election time, you know how these old people come out, all of a sudden they get in the paper, they doing this, doing that. Where they at the other 3 years? Homosexual and around all over the place. They just homo, these old, them old black ones, they just homosexual and around all over everywhere. Where Obama been for three? Then Obama got enough nerve. Let me tell you, Obama got enough nerve to come forward and talk. Now he's talking about Mitt Romney. His whole thing, he watching everything Mitt Romney say. Why ain't he getting the budget or something together up there at the White House? He watching everything Mitt Romney do. He like a stalker. Mitt Romney ought to put a warrant out on him for stalking him, Minister. He's stalking Mitt Romney everywhere he go. He just watching him. Everything Mitt Romney say, he go, yeah, I can connect with the people. I tell you what, he ain't connected with me yet. I didn't call the White House I don't know how many times. He did just like old Arthur Davis did. Let me tell you, when Arthur Davis, is this you on the end? Let me, I think this is not regular. Okay, caller.
Yes, hello. I was the one that posted the thing on the tape on Mitt Romney.
I want to say something to you before you say something, because I had a last point. I wanted to take your call, but I want you to listen to this. Now, are you familiar with Arthur Davis?
No.
You're not familiar with Arthur? Okay, did you watch the Republican convention?
I saw bits and pieces, but I read more on the internet than watch it on TV.
Okay. You're not familiar with Arthur Davis. But see, I understand what you're probably trying to post in the chat room, but I'm trying to tell you something about these black people. All Obama is doing, only thing Obama doing is stalking Mitt Romney. I'm serious. Because he don't have a record to run on. I'm familiar with black people and what they do. They don't have nothing to run on. You know what the first thing they do? They know that a fight of these old black people. So that's what I like right now. The white man, Negroes will come from everywhere. White man, they know about that. It's a joke. It's a game. Only reason why, I understand exactly what you're saying that Mitt Romney said. But, you know, people got a way to edit tapes, to take in, to take out. And I'm not taking up for Mitt Romney. I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm just trying to tell you that Obama do not have a record to run on. This is why he's stalking this man. Okay, you can go ahead.
I don't know about the stalking part. I just know that, you know, so far, I don't know anything about the stalking part that you mentioned, but I just know what I've, you know, they've shown the videotape on TV and they put the transcript up there, and Republicans are running away from them. They had something on the news I saw earlier today, and it was a bunch of Republicans, and somebody asked a question about the videotape, and everybody, instead of answering any questions, they all walked away. It was like six or seven Republican males, and as soon as the question about the videotape, everybody did an about face like they were in the military and walked away from the podium. And, you know, Mitt Romney hasn't said anybody about taking his words out of context or anything. He was talking to people that, you know, his own people, rich people, and he made a comment, you know, and that's what the video talks about, you know. So I don't think Obama has said anything much about it. He's just kind of letting it ride, but.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. See, that's what you don't know about policy. See, Obama got people that do his dirty work. He got what you call.
That's what all politicians do. All politicians do that.
I want you to look at this right here. Basically, now all of us know that if people are in a room talking, let's get something more personal. You know, you talking to a person. Okay, so the conversation you have with one person, you're trying to accomplish one goal in this particular conversation. That conversation is not used in another room. It can't be used in nowhere but there at that particular time, this is the real game. So that's how that really goes. And so, you know, we're taking people just trying to disrupt or trying to cast doubts on a person because
you know, for whatever reason, I guess because the president doesn't have all going on. But you know, but that's looking at the presidency. You know, I hate that Obama needs to go, but he just really, when you go against God, and then when you start playing with God, now, I understand about a lot of young people, you know, they play with God, they play with life and death in different ways from people that's a little bit older. You know, but there's no sense in playing with stuff that is probably, is worse than drugs. You know, we get out now about any kind of thing, you know, hustling, this, that, or the other, you know, robbing banks, doing drugs. But then people don't want to just go against God, you know, just on the straight, we ain't got nothing else to do. You know, I mean, we can find nothing to do.
I mean, what has Obama done differently than any other president? I mean, the only difference with Obama is, you know, he's a black man. Other than that, he's done everything that Republicans were doing when the Republicans were in the White House. He's done some of the things that Democrats are doing when Democrats have been in the White House. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about some sleazy, you know, something, you know, a scandal. I'm talking about just normal, everyday, making the planet run kind of politics. And Obama doesn't have any power. You know, it's the people above Obama. When I say above Obama, above the Senate, above the Congress, you know, it's a lot bigger than, you know, what we see. So, you know, Obama wouldn't have gotten where he was unless somebody put him where he is, meaning, you know, basically came out of from nowhere, and next thing you know, he's running for the White House, he beats all the well-known Democrats, and then all of a sudden he's president of the United States. You know, I'm not saying that's a God thing. I'm saying there are people a lot higher than the people that we recognize when we hear a name or see on the news or have a title that run the actual game, you know. And a biggest example I'll give you is something called AFROCOM, and they have all kinds of stuff. They have NORTHCOM, SOUTHCOM, EUROCOM, and then, you know, you got AFROCOM. AFROCOM is the African continent in the U.S. military being there and having bases all over the place. When George Bush was in the White House, they were trying to get into certain countries, but the countries wouldn't let them in because they didn't like the politics of what America has done. When Obama became president, all of a sudden, a lot of countries that refused to allow the Americans to bring their bases in there, you know, be it small bases or big bases, all of a sudden, you know, there's a black man. You know, he wouldn't do anything to hurt another black man. In fact, his father's from Kenya. So, you know, he ain't gonna let the American government do anything to harm us. You know, AFROCOM is a lot bigger now in the continent of Africa, all over the continent. And again, the people who run this country and run this planet, you know, they do what they want to do. Don't forget, people made the decision and said George Bush was president in 2000 when they were doing a recount of those votes. You know, while they were counting, they didn't say we now know what the score is. The Supreme Court made a decision, and they said that George Bush was president. You know, so these people do what they want.
Yeah, but see, what we have to, I don't say what we would have to do. I don't know what else to do. But at the same time, you know, I'm talking about him being the first black president. That's, you know, that was making history. But the problem that we first had with him is like two things. It's like, by him being the first black president, he's bringing into a situation that's devastating to the black community, whether we understand it enough or not. But it's terrible. But then, and regardless of what happened, we have to some type of way get comfortable with what has happened. You know, we have to really, I guess, well, we got to make ourselves into better people, so the world would not even begin to recognize black men around the world as being men who go along with same-sex marriage.
But I mean, how many presidents before Obama was doing that, making that comment, or didn't make a comment at all? Which means that if you don't say anything about it, then that means you must approve of it. You know, it just happened under his watch. And again, you know, hey, if you go to do something and you want to make changes, you know, you don't want to look like the bad guy, you let the other guy do it. So, hey, if I mean I'm going to assign my vice president or some junior person in the corporation to make this policy, or at least announce this policy, you know, while I take vacation, you know, he's going to take the heat for it.
Well,
you know. So, I mean, it's a lot bigger than what we see. And we got to remember now, when we vote, our vote doesn't count to make decide who the president is. That's the whole thing. Our vote doesn't do it. It's the Electoral College that makes the decision who the next president of the United States is. You know, so it's not like, you know, 10,000 votes from your county and maybe 1.5 million out of your state, and then, you know, several million from a different state go to one president and one goes to the other, and they say, okay, you know, this guy's got more votes than that guy. He won. It's the Electoral College that makes the decision. It's all a game that we don't understand because we never read the rules. You know?
Okay, we understand that, but we have a voice.
We have a voice, but again, historically, what has our voice done? You know, black people will march and pray and protest, but you know, again, all you're doing is doing what? That's like a dog barking behind a fence. You know, I don't care how ferocious the dog is, as long as he's behind that fence, I'm not really concerned. And that's basically all black people have been able to put up to this point. They're tired of marching. Marching doesn't mean anything to white people.
So you saying that God is not God?
No, I'm saying the person who runs this country and this planet is not concerned about the same God. Is not the same person.
God runs this country and this planet.
But I'm saying the people who run this planet are not concerned about the same God that you're concerned about. And they're not fearful of the same God you're talking about.
I'll say for example, and I'll stop talking.
The example is
I'm definitely not concerned about a God that is for homosexuality. Now, I agree with you. We definitely got different gods now. That's no doubt. I don't believe in homosexuality, and the God that I serve don't believe in homosexuality.
But the Catholic Church claims to be Christians, and they believe in Jesus Christ. But the Catholic Church over and over and over again are scandals about pedophilia. If those Catholic priests in the Catholic Church were against homosexuality, don't you think they would have cleaned house by now? They cover up, they hide, they lie, they do everything possible to cover up the things that keep happening. And this is nothing new. I watched a documentary one time. And they went back to 928, and there was writings about these bishops or friars or whatever term they call them, and you know, they lived in a monastery, and the comment was, nor man nor beast are safe amongst these men. So this pedophilia with little children is nothing new. Don't forget the Catholic Church is the people who picked up after the Roman Empire fell. When the Roman Empire left, the Catholic Church took over. What was going on in the Roman Empire? Homosexuality. And when the Roman Empire collapsed, the Catholic Church took over. And what is the Catholic Church known for today? Molesting little children. So, you know, again, if Catholic priests in the Catholic Church, don't forget the Christian faith, the Protestant faith, be it you're a Baptist or Episcopal, that came out of the Roman Catholic Church. You know, it was Martin Luther who separated and wrote down the things he found wrong with the Catholic Church, and that's where the Protestant or to protest the Catholic Church came from. So the foundation of Christians who are not Catholic is from the Roman Catholic Church.
I know, but you know you got this.
Oh yeah, but see, like we got to, you know, we could go on and on, you know, with the concept of this and the concept of that, you know, but basically every religion around the world has a basic situation about it pertaining to homosexuality. Now, you know, and I guess you can't say all religions are somewhat of a cult, but for the things that are happening now, you know, pertaining to, you know, this homosexual situation, it's understandable as a problem of history. So now, you know, it's kind of amazing that...
So again, you're going to get mad at Obama for something that has been going on forever. You're going to punish him because he's doing the same thing everyone else is doing, supporting...
Let him finish first.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, we could go on and on with that. But see, like I said, he was the first black president to stand up and say, well, he wants to take the step of saying, you know, it's an okay thing. You know, in other words, if you had children, if you had teenage children right now, you might look at that differently. You know, if perhaps it all depends on what you truly believe in yourself. But I would think that even if a person was a homosexual, they would not believe that that's the life that they would want for their children.
Okay, now.
This is just my thought.
Okay, hold your point right there. Now, to answer your question, you say, how can we blame Obama for something that has been going on since the beginning of time? Because he's the first black, long-legged Negro that stood up. Even President Clinton say, don't act, don't tell. Obama put himself in that position. Wait, let me finish. I want to answer your question. Okay. First of all, Obama stood up May the 9th of 2012. He put himself in that position. When he came out initially, he said that he was a black man that was running as a black president. He came to Selma, Alabama, to my town. I listened to him in detail when he said if it wasn't for Selma, Alabama, I wouldn't be even a black presidential candidate. This is how he didn't say he was a white president. He said, I'm a black president. So naturally, black people thinking that he going in there and going to make decisions based on what he think that a black person is supposed to do. Now, he stood up May the 9th, 2012, and said that same, he believed that hell with God. This is what he said. I talked to Sasha, I talked to Malik, and I talked to my few faggot friends. And this is the decision I have came up with. This is what I think you black people need. I think black men are feminine anyway. This is what he said. This is all in Hollywood. We see this. Everybody subliminally doing this. But Obama is the first person to come forward and say out of his mouth that he believes that black men should get married. And he listened to white folks. I'm not fixing to take up on no sorry black Negro that's sitting up around with white folks taking advice from them on what needs
that's
to be
my
done.
Point. What you just said is my
Hold
point.
On.
I agree
not,
with you. I agree.
I'm not finished. Okay. He is the one. He is the one that stood up and did this. This is why, to answer your question, this is why he is going to be held. This is why I'm holding him accountable, because he sat up and told white folks, green folks, yellow folks, that this is what, and I'm standing up letting them know that hell with him. I'm not no homosexual, and I'm not fixing to agree with no homosexuality, period.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not denying it, but like what you said, he's been assigned, as I already said, just like all the black leaders that we call national black leaders, them black leaders are where they are and been there for 20 years or longer because they've been assigned. They're not a threat. They're not a threat to the power structure. So Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all these people, they're on the inside, and they're not there. They'll get you riled up, but they'll make sure you calm yourself down. So, you know, again, you know, it's a barking dog behind a fence. A barking dog behind a fence, you know, is not going to knock, it's not a threat to anybody. And Obama is assigned jobs, and Obama is assigned to say things. But you got to remember, for the last 10, 15 years, it's been a homosexual agenda. When I say that, you start noticing TV shows and their introducing homosexuality. You know, everything is about homosexuality. They had little books, you know, they were making a big stink about in public schools. I have two mommies and all that stuff, introducing it to children in elementary school, and these children now are at least, you know, 18 to 20-plus years old when that first came out. This is something they've been pushing. It's called social engineering. You know, just like the Sidney Poitier films of the 60s, introducing a black character and issues about race. It was changing America.
Well,
we're going to let these people integrate. You know,
check this out. Now, we understand perfectly well what they're doing. We're just trying to understand that we are understanding what to do about it. See,
If you put Mitt Romney in there, is that going to make things better? That's my question. That's kind of like saying, I got a racist next door neighbor, but guess what? You know, and he's running for the president of the corporation, and then I got a Klansman who's running for a corporation, and I'm going to endorse the Klansman. Now, my neighbor's a racist. He'll call me a nigger left and right. But, you know, he's not a member of the Klan. But the other guy, he'll call me a nigger, but he also put a rope around my neck. But I'm going to endorse someone that's going to put a rope around my neck and anybody who looks like me. And you know, and look, I am not endorsing Obama. I'm not planning to vote this time around. I'm 46 years old, be 47. I am not voting this time around because I understand, I have a better understanding how this government works and how things work in this, on this planet. But I'm saying is, you know.
Hey, okay now, and we want you to be sure. You know, we're talking about this. It's not like your enthusiasm gives to the sincerity of the situation, and we want to be for real about this. Just like I'm saying, like do you know that based on you just said yourself that Jesse Jackson, all these people were put, they've been in these positions for a very long time. So what I'm experiencing, are you already aware of, or however you want to come into that particular view of things? You know what we are speaking about. We see where all this stuff has been going on. Let's not act like it just started yesterday and we're trying to make a decision. We can go a step further and really look at what it has done. You know, by getting a very good look at it. You know, not a notion, a reacting on some type of a whim, but just really looking at where some people think that God is somewhere asleep. God has punished us in so many ways for what some people think standing up and becoming great is all about. It's just really destroying themselves and everything around them. You know, and you can really see it if you have eyes to see.
Who is God punished, in your opinion? Who has he punished?
But just like Minister Lewis was saying a few minutes ago, the conversation that Mitt Romney, and I'm pretty sure when Obama go into his dog room with these white homosexuals, he got a conversation that's unbelievable. In other words, I think this was supposed to be some type of fundraising event. You talk. And everybody, you even talk this in communication. You talk to who? You talk to your crowd. You know, if you're talking to poor people, you don't use big words. Okay, when you're talking to the people, rich people, you don't use small words. You talk to who you're talking to. Now, I want to get back to a point that you say. Now, you say you're not going to vote. Okay, if you're not going to vote, then why are you complaining?
Why are you participating? Because I see black people constantly attacking.
I wanted to finish my point, and then you can finish your point. I wanted to say, you know, if you're not gonna vote, I don't understand. That's one thing I find out about black people. They complain about things, and they be the first one to not go to the poll and vote. They'll win it if you don't go and vote. Okay, my second point is, you're asking if you put Mitt Romney there, will it make it better? Well, it goes back to your point that you have been making all the time, which is a very good point, which is just like our point. These leaders that are assigned to us, I don't think Obama needs another term. I think it'll send a shockwave throughout the black phony leadership community to let them know that people have waken up. People not going to give them another chance. I know what you were saying about the electoral vote process. I understand all that. But sometimes I don't even think they understand that. I think it's just the spirit needs to change. You know, black people need to stop thinking that they can go into an office knowing that they can't do nothing. Obama knew he couldn't do nothing to that. Obama knew he couldn't do nothing. Obama knew he could not do anything with that office when he first hopped his long-legged self out there. He knew that. Only thing what Obama was depending on was them old folks telling him all you got to do is talk about Jesus Christ to them Negroes. All you got to do is just tell them that the white man got your hand tied. All you got to do is play the race card. You know, in the meantime, ain't nobody got no job. Don't nobody have no money. In other words, Obama just trying to really go back in and get him a job. He really don't give a damn about nobody, really. But the homosexual community.
Well, as I said, there's an agenda, and he's part of it because he's assigned it. And the agenda is, as you can see, you know, laws, and anytime a celebrity makes any comment about homosexuality, they're brought in front of the entire country to be outed for saying something negative about the homosexuals. You can say anything you want to say about a black man. You could kill a black man. It's a non-issue, and everybody stays silent. You kill a dog, you know, outside of accidentally, running it over in a car. But if you abuse a dog, that dog has more rights than a black man in this country, you know. So, again, there's an agenda. And, social engineering is something. Yeah, right now they are. They're getting rid of the middle class in this country. Middle class is predominantly white people. You know, I mean, a lot of people, I think there was a study, and I think he said 91% of Americans thought they were middle class, and that's impossible because it's not, they have different definitions of middle class. They have, I think, lower middle class, middle class, upper middle class, and then it's wealthy. But the point is the people, they're trying to restructure the whole economic system here. So you're going to be either part of the top 2% of this world, of the American population, or you're going to be poor. So basically you're going to be peasants, or you're going to be the top 2% of the American population, which means all these white folks who are somewhere in the middle class but making less than $200,000, less than $500,000 are going to be eventually poor, meaning they're not going to have that house, and they're not going to have a decent job, and they're not going to have health insurance. You know, that's what they're doing. And the news has been talking about that for at least 15 years, how the rich are getting richer and the poor is getting poor. And the way you do that, and again, for we only had millionaires in this planet, and now we have billionaires. Only way you can create that is two ways of doing it. You either make more money, which causes an inflation and the money's worthless, or you redistribute wealth. You know, if I can get a nickel from, 100 people, I got a lot more money than I had before.
The main thing, you got to really understand that a person don't only do what they do, and they're going to make money doing it if it's what it's called for at the time, if it's a need for it. Okay, if it's something that's a commodity. First you got to know something about business to be able to even, Obama just never really had a business, so he wouldn't even know. He would have to do things based on what people tell him, not within his own heart or mind, because it can't be there. Like since he's been president, like we say, we lost about at least close to $1 million, based on, and we're not big timers, but so that was big time for us. So we know about business. Business is just almost like a principle of brushing your teeth. It's something that comes out on what you do, whatever you do. Now, you know enough about life to know that whatever you do every day, in some type of way, you condition for that. Your heart beats on it. Your mind ticks to it, and you find better ways of doing it. Here's a man who has through everything. Even though a white person don't have a lot against them, but you don't see some poor white folks, I mean, if you've been around, you see some now in this present day and time. But people do have to know something in order to do something, in order to use something to their advantage. I just think it's very embarrassing. What do you think? I think me and you talk about, it's not just the Obama situation that ends up being what you call it just don't have no substance to it based on a person with common sense wouldn't even let you put yourself out there like that if they had any type of a mind to understand the world and what you live in. It's just something that you would look to do. We used to bootleg and stuff, under the table stuff. That's not something the government say because it puts us. It's just not even necessary. If a person got that kind of money, that type of stability, a little technicality in society, it don't mean nothing in comparison to the harm it can do. I know for a fact that homosexuals ain't got no business overseas walking around allowing people. It's nothing private once you get overseas. They don't need to be nowhere. Somewhere, and all that just a lie, pretty much a lie anyway.
because most people, they don't even have, most societies don't even have homosexuals in areas like that. Now, that would present a problem even with Americans, you know. And so what you're speaking, in other words, it just doesn't, it don't make any type of sense. So you're really trying to use it as a source of intimidation. Because, you know, we got district attorneys now, homosexuals.
I agree. I've listened to your program for a long time now. But the thing is, again, when a celebrity, especially a black one, says something, an athlete or whatever, says anything derogatory about homosexuals, you know, again, they have the power. And it's not so much a homosexual person saying, hey, I'm offended that he said that. It's the whole society is now geared up. You say anything about gay people, when I say society, those in the media and the news, those with the power, they will come down and basically, you know, say something about it. It's kind of like, you know, if we're all in the same room and none of us are homosexuals.
Those are homosexuals.
They may be. But the point is, they have the power. They didn't have that power before, but someone has allowed them to have that power.
Whether they are homosexuals or not, when someone say that to you, you just automatically suit up, you know, because you just automatically suit up because regardless, you know, you know you ain't finna go home and teach your children that someone no matter who you are.
The TV teaches them that.
Hey, see, that's how when we first went to Vietnam. It was about let's go fight the people who don't believe in God. You don't even know what people have fought. You think the civil rights movement was something? You think these foreign wars are something to play with?
Wars are about the natural resources. What they tell the general population is something else. Don't forget, Vietnam was French Indochina, which was a colony under France, and France was there for the rubber, the raw material for the rubber trees. And then the World War kicked in.
We're not getting into the cause of why we were there. I'm talking about people who were actually there, and some died and some came back. I'm not talking about why they were there. I'm just speaking about the time. I just want you to understand that they were there. Just like right here, right now. It don't matter what a person talk about. It's what a person do. Right now, you know, we were actually prosecuted for not. I understand exactly what you're saying. And that's why we are talking about how can you possibly get prosecuted. Prosecuted just because you are not a homosexual in America,
because
Jesus Christ.
Right, and I'm trying to, and I've said this before, maybe not on this program, but again, what is left is right, what is up is down. Everything's the opposite. It's like we live in a twilight zone now. There's a black man in Arkansas who was a policeman. He pulled someone over, writing them a ticket. A white person sees this black policeman writing somebody a ticket, gets out of his car and tackles the black policeman. The black policeman gets the upper hand of this man, roughs him up and handcuffs him and arrests him for assaulting an officer. That black policeman is now in jail. What is left is right. What is up is down. What is right is wrong. What is black is white. Everything is the opposite of what makes sense in this world. The videotape of the dash cam shows he being tackled because, you know, you've seen enough TV where the police car's dash cam is showing them write the ticket, and somebody out of the blue comes and tackles the cop. And then the cop gets the upper hand of the guy, arrests the guy, and then the cop was charged with attempted murder of the white person who put their hands on the cop.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. See, now, you saw that on video. I guess that convinced you that's what actually happened.
Well, he got prosecuted. He's in prison.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I guess you really believe everything you hear pertaining to that particular situation.
The man is in prison. His police dash cam showed it. And guess what? His department tried to defend him, and the district attorney, as you always bringing up, the district attorney prosecuted him. You know, the chief of police, like, this is one of our guys. He was attacked. The district attorney sent this guy to prison. It wasn't that the police department turned it back on him. The district attorney said, I'm busting this guy. Why? Because a black man put his hand on a white man. Even though the white man put his hand on him first. What is up is down. What is left is right. Everything is the opposite. We're in the twilight zone.
Okay, now, but this is what Milton Lewis is trying to tell you. He's saying that, okay, but the point that we're trying to make is this. We were so-called prosecuted, persecuted in Selma, Alabama. You would think because the district attorney, the police department, the mayor, the attorney general, you would think because all these people coming out, this stuff is real. This is not real.
I know.
Let me tell you something. The person that actually, that Minister Lewis ran for mayor, the person that he campaigned against, James Perkins Jr., he actually did the shooting at his campaign center and lied.
I
and tried to put it on us. And you talking about a dash cam and all.
I understand. I'm agreeing with you.
They had a lady, listen, they had a lady that's a principal of a school. Her name is Tanya Summer Miles. She's the principal of a school in Selma, Alabama. This lady did an affidavit. She lied. Her and another young lady by the name of Afra Shanae Robinson, they lied and said that we jumped out of some vehicles with guns.
Ma'am, I understand. I've heard your program many, many times. I know that, and I'm agreeing with you. What I'm trying to say is everything that was supposed to make sense does not make sense. It doesn't make sense that they did that to two innocent people, you and the minister. I understand that. But I'm trying to tell you, in this world, right doesn't mean right. Wrong means right. You know, everything is the opposite of true. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm agreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not confused. I agree. I've listened to your program almost every time of the episode, and I've caught the archives. I know about the homosexual this and the homosexual that. I know about it. I've listened to your shows. I'm aware.
I see what you're saying. I'm sitting here hearing the same thing over and over and over again.
I'm not saying that, sir. I'm saying I understand the story that you're talking about. I'm saying it's bigger than your town. It's bigger than Obama. It's bigger than everybody. It's bigger than that. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. That's all. I'm not trying to disagree. I agree. But our problem is we don't understand how history works. That's the problem. Do you understand that the 13th Amendment? Do you realize that slavery never ended in America? Do you understand that? Slavery officially never ended in America.
You only got dates and times and documents, you know. Like, you go into something and you do whatever you're able to do with it according to your knowledge of it.
Right. Are you aware that slavery never ended in America?
But this is what I want to say. Now, the people that are writing history for Selma, Alabama right now, these people are behind all these problems that we are complaining about.
Yes, ma'am. They've assigned jobs to mistreat you. I understand that. It's happening in Selma. It's happening across the country.
He's trying to explain to you when you start talking about documents and you know who the documents from. You know who's writing the history. People are actually lying about the history of Selma, Alabama right now.
Ma'am, I understand what history is. Napoleon Bonaparte said history is a lie agreed upon. That's meaning if me and three people sitting in a room say we're talking about Jesus, but actually we were talking about a football game, you know, we're going to say, well, what did you guys talk about for all the time? We were talking about the Bible. We were reading Bible passages, but actually we're talking about sports. History is a lie agreed upon. And when it comes to history, the victor of a war gets to write the history. You know, we have said that the Germans were the bad guys during World War II. The Nazis were the bad guys. The Nazis, after World War II, when they were sent to the War Crime Tribunal at The Hague, and they were talking about all the stuff they were doing to the Jews, torturing people and human experiments. They said, where did you get all this sick from? And they said, we got it from you, the Americans, because it's true. It happened here in America before it happened in Germany. It was called eugenics. They experimented on poor whites living in the mountains if they consider them having low IQ. And again, this because you don't know what fork goes with what meal, and there's four or five forks sitting in front of you, you know, something that billionaires and millionaires understand, you know, you just live in hand to mouth. You don't know a salad fork from a regular old fork or a fork for your this or that. But anyway, they were sterilizing these white folks.
So you have to know history
if you understand. I hear you
in a minister some type of way. He say he understands what you're saying when you say that you hear us over and over. Now, if you think for 1 minute,
Ma'am,
I get tired of hearing me over and over.
Ma'am, I'm not saying that. You're missing my point. I'm not saying, I said I've heard you're telling the story.
I can't miss your point. You're the one that'll miss the point.
Ma'am, the point is I know the story of you and the minister. I've heard the story, so I'm aware of it. Maybe people listening tonight are not aware of your story, but I'm aware of it because I've followed your program for a while. I've listened to your archives. I'm trying to tell you, the people who are mistreating you, the people who are framing you, the people that find it out of the woodwork to say, yes, I saw this happen, they're all been told to do that. They didn't go out of their way on their own. Someone says, you got to go say this. You're going to tell them that you witnessed them jump out of vehicles and fire guns. I understand that. Like I said, I use the example of a black policeman with his own police cam did not protect him. He still went to prison. There's a black man who was a policeman in Chicago. He was a he worked for the train company. He was a policeman for the train company. He gets stopped by police. He's wearing his gun belt, his police gun belt and his civilian clothes off duty because he's going to go do his duty in the morning. But he's going to work on a house that he was renovating. He gets stopped. The cops, he identifies himself as a police officer for the train company. They can see his gun belt. They pull him out of the car. They throw him on the ground. They take his gun off him, and they shot him 28 times. So he got 7 in the stomach and 21 in the back. He survived. This happened in 2010. He survived. In 2012 of this year, I think it was January of 2012, he was convicted for attempted murder of 4 white policemen. He was pulled out of his car. I'm trying to say, ma'am.
I remember hearing that story.
He's in prison right now, ma'am. He didn't do anything wrong other than being a black man in this country. He was a cop and got shot 28 times by 4 white officers who first said that it was a shootout. Then they retracted that, and a witness said, no, I saw them when they pulled him over. They talked to him for a couple seconds. Then I saw them pull him out of his truck because he had a van, and then they said they saw him shoot him when he was laying on the ground. But it didn't matter. Just like your story, it didn't matter because guess what? The people in power, be it people with black faces or white faces, are going to do what they want. That black face makes you mad because it was a black person that did it, but it was a white person that told that black person to do it. Just like it was a white people who were telling Obama to say this and say that, to do this and do that. You know? People called Saddam Hussein a terrorist or a bad guy, a dictator. Saddam Hussein wasn't doing nothing wrong. As we all know, Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with September 11th. George Bush has even said that. They asked him, the Iraq had to do with September 11th. And George Bush was on video because he was being interviewed. He goes, no. Why did he attack it? Because white people are going to do what white people want to do.
Okay, hold on one second. Now, Minister, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe, I think me and you have controversies about this. Now, do you believe what he just said? Do you believe that a white man told a black man to do that, a black person to do that? Now, we have controversies about that. Do you believe that?
I just have to look at life. I look at some questions, some things I don't even answer. And even according to that, there's no way for you to answer that.
What do I think? Yes.
I'm just trying to tell you how I deal with situations like that because it's such an important situation.
It's very important for you to understand. You believe? Because you know me and you have controversies. You tell me that there's no way that you don't believe a white person tell a black person to do anything. You think black people do it on their own. I'm just saying, do you believe that?
I believe that according to the experience I've had in life. See, I'm like, you might believe that now, but see, like when you get to be 60, then perhaps based on what you do and how you live is what caused you to believe whatever. Now, the world could be to pull everything over on me, but at this particular time, the things I talk about, that's exactly how I perceive it. And so, like, that's basically why,
You don't believe it.
Well, I'll give an example. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, one of the Blog Talk radio shows, Al Sharpton's brother has a program, and he doesn't host the show. He lets other people host it. Anyway, a Jewish person called into the show. The guy's name is Pastor Kenny Glasgow, and he's Al Sharpton's brother. But anyway,
what's the name of the show?
It's called Tops. The the Ordinary People Society, and the host is the owner of the show, I guess, or the host of the show is Dr. Kenny Glasgow, and he's Al Sharpton's brother. Anyway, Glasgow had one of his friends call in, a white man. It's a white man. They're all out of Alabama. You know, the white man says he's a Jew, and the white man says he's a Republican, and the white man says that, you know, hey, you know, I am not voting for Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney, and he was talking about his views about race. Now, this is a white man who calls himself a Republican who says he's not voting for Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney's religion, being a Mormon, you know, at one time said black people, you know, were not, you know, they were the curse of him and all this other stuff. So this is a white man saying this. Now, the same white man is still a Republican, and, you know, when you ask the question, well, how do you deal with racism within the Republican Party, you know, he don't want to talk about that. He wants to talk about, you know, those bad, Mormons, and the, right now one wants to be president of the United States, and their racism, and you say, okay, fine. You're right. Mitt Romney comes from a religion where they said black people were, you know, the curse. I understand that, but what about the racism that of the Republican Party? He, you know, he don't want to talk about that. Anyway, there was a conversation on the program that night by the host, a co-host, not Dr. Glasgow, but they were talking, and the guy said, you know, there is no DNA evidence that the people who call themselves the Jews today are, you know, descendants of the Jews that, you know, everybody talks about in the Bible. And the guy, you know, he's been on the show before, and he talks about it. Oh, well, that's your opinion. He goes, no, sir, that's fact. You know, and then the guy, you know, he'll back off because he realizes, you know, who he's talking to. And again, the guy's not telling something incorrect. The population has been misinformed. Anyway, he said something else, which I can't recall, but Jewish people on Glasgow's Facebook page contact Glasgow, and on his Facebook page, I was very disappointed in yes, that thing. He was attacking the Jewish community, blah, 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 blah. You know, and anyway, Glasgow calls up. I'm canceling the show today because of people saying that you called Jewish people or Israel a gutter religion or gutter people and all that. He goes, that's not what I said. You need to listen to the archives. He, first of all, he was quoting a Jewish person back in the 30s to 40s, and the Jewish person didn't want Israel to be their state. They didn't want to go to Palestine. He said those people, you know, he called them sewer people or sewer dwellers. You know, he called them sewer dwellers. He was talking about the Palestinians. Anyway, white people, Jews, on Glasgow's thing, heard what the guy said and thought he was talking about Jews. And the man was quoting a Jewish person who said the reason we don't want to go to Palestine and make that the new state of Israel is because those people are backwards and they're gutter people. And he called it a gutter dwellers. But Glasgow jumped on the thing and defended white people. So that's right there. He listened to white people and got rid of the host of his show.
But you got to stop somewhere because, you know, you're going to give out energy because, like, if you took care of your business and things that actually pertain to you, see, conversation is basically a mode of transportation. They just use Don't be a billboard for someone else.
No, I'm agreeing with my example. Marie, for giving that example, he had misinformation from white people, and he went on the back of those white people, didn't he have the true information? That's what I'm trying to say. White people told him that they were offended, then he got offended. You know, he hadn't even heard the show. He didn't even go back and listen to the archives of the show the day before to see what the people had said.
I guess you still got to promote yourself no matter what you're trying to do based on the fact what you're speaking about is still beating around. Okay, we are, like you said, you follow us before. So there's no such thing as going back and forth on this or the other.
Right.
Sometimes, basically, the only thing we can do, basically, is allow time to be the best fortune teller. I guess that's pretty much what we would have to say is the civilized thing to do, and we have to, I guess, go through that particular part, man, because that seems to be, you know, that's basically how it works. You know, just
right.
We can talk about right now. We should be talking about if Obama gets to be president, I can pretty much tell you what is going to happen. You know, it's just like, and we can get into talking about if he don't become president, I can pretty much tell you about what is going to happen.
The same thing is going to happen. That's the point.
Huh?
It doesn't matter. That's my point. I say I'm not voting. I'm 46 years old. I've been voting since I was 18 years old. I have learned a lot in the last, like, 5 years. In the last 3 years, I got more information than I ever probably needed to know. The point is, it doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter. They assign us the people, you know, if there's eight people for the Democrats and eight people for the Republicans who are campaigning and say, I want to be your next president as candidate, it doesn't matter. What out of the 16 people, you know, eight Republicans, eight Democrats, it doesn't matter which one gets assigned it, because why? The people who put those people in front of us are the ones who are controlling them, you know?
Some things they cannot control regardless. People won't be able to control how we perceive information.
That's all. It's about manipulation. It's like a magic trick. You know, people don't have magic, right?
I want to interrupt you. Do you think 9/11 was staged? Or do you think
it's two ways of looking at it. Some people say it was the government did it to justify all the things
that
have changed since then.
I'm not talking about some people.
Ma'am. I'm saying I'm giving both sides.
I'm not talking about no some people.
I understand what you're saying. I'm going to get my point, ma'am. I'll give you my point. I'm trying to give both sides of what people think.
You're saying these people got almighty, they got control. I'm saying, what do you think?
Let me finish my point. I will say it. As I was trying to say, there are some people who believe that the government has something to do it. The other people, and this is me, I believe it doesn't matter if the government has something to do it or if, quote, unquote, terrorists did it. The point is the government took that information, took what happened, and used it to their favor. Regardless if they had control over September or not, they use it in their favor.
So what do you think going to happen now? Okay, now Obama claimed, and he's taking responsibility for killing their most powerful man, Osama bin Laden. So you think whatever they do to us, that's going to be staged?
No, like I said, for every action, there's a reaction. What happened?
I see you over in everybody's country, so that's why I'm asking you.
Ma'am,
about their country.
I understand that. And again, for every action, there's a reaction.
Everybody's country, I'm asking you, so what they do, so when they hit back.
Ma'am,
That's just like if you hit me, right? And I hit you back. Aren't you gonna look for me to hit you again if I got any kind of life in me?
That's called logic, yes, ma'am.
Hold on, you talking about different countries. I'm asking you, so do you think this Obama killed what you call one of their greatest, their greatest man. Okay,
he was
so I'm
created,
asking,
ma'am.
Do you think whoever you think I'm talking about pertaining to 9/11, do you think there's going to be repercussion? If there's a repercussion, do you think that's going to be staged or that's going to be for real?
It would be real. I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is this. First of all, Bin Laden used to work for the government of the United States. Because the government, again, I like history. I read about history. I listen to lectures. I read books and everything else. Bin Laden was part of the Mujahideen.
Bin Laden was part of the Mujahideen that was
fighting the Russians.
I'm saying the here and now.
Ma'am, you have to understand what happened yesterday.
We got men over here now switching and bitching.
Ma'am, I understand. I'm well aware of what's going on in our society. I know about the feminization of black males.
We got black men over here now switching and bitching and celebrating the summer of being light. And in the meantime, you know, we're really in trouble.
Ma'am, I know that. I'm aware of that.
And Obama has made us a prime target saying that he believes in homosexuality. That's the weakest thing any man can say.
Well, all I can say is there's for every action, there's a reaction. Like you said, if someone slaps you, you may not slap them back right then and there, but you're going to get them back sooner or later. I'm aware of that. You know, what happened with the 1979 when the Iranians took over the embassy, it's not because something happened within 10 days or 10 minutes. It's something that happened back in 1950s. And that's when the CIA went in there and paid street thugs to harass anybody who didn't have a photograph of the Shah on the dashboard of their car. Eventually, word got out. you know, the thugs are going to beat you up and rough you up and damage your car unless you have a photograph of the Shah. As the majority of people have photographs of the Shah, then they said, obviously, you know, people are not happy with the current administration. You know, they want the Shah. The Shah came in there. The British no longer controlled the oil. Now we did. That was a CIA thing. 20 years later, roughly, you know, the Iran hostage crisis took over. Then they had the students. They weren't getting anything done, and they wanted to let them go. The students had the American hostages. They wanted to let them go. A secret negotiation. This is all Freedom of Information Act, Freedom of Information Act. People met from Iran, representatives from the hostage takers, met in Paris, met in France with people from the Republican Party, and they said, what will it take for you to hold the hostages until the election is taking place? Meaning Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter. And they said, well, we need weapons, we need parts, you know, for weapons, things like that. And that's what happened. If you remember, when Ronald Reagan became president of the United States, within like an hour, the hostages were released. That's what that whole Iran-Contra hearings were about. You have to know history. You have to know history.
That ain't got nothing to us. That have remotely, not anything to do with what's going on now.
Sure, you have to know history. That's an example of something that happened back in the late 50s, affected in 1979, and also affected the president of the United States. Who's going to be the next president?
Hey, we got about two or three more minutes, so we're going to talk to you a little later. You have a good night, okay?
All right, sir.
All
right. You have to understand.
Well, we have about 5 minutes, and we can go on and on and on and on with conversation, but I guess conversation is conversation. I just hate to, I know he might mean well. I just hate to see him wearing himself out with these people, but he won't listen. That's the only thing about it. I know he's trying, but he just don't know. These people will wear you out. That's why I pick and choose my battles.
I used to say that, so that's why I listen to him.
Look, I pick and choose my battles. I used to try to get myself tied like that, tie myself up in every battle. That's why I pick and choose my battles. I don't get involved in every single battle. But,
we want to say something before, you know, we close out. We got a few more minutes, but back to the political scene, he's like, you know, he's somewhere in what you call, he's 46 years old. He pretty much, to me, I just wish he would pray more or less to get to a point of actual
prison. But one thing about that last caller, I slow down to hear his point. He won't never slow down and listen to the next person's point. Cause I think he be missing some very valuable points. Like he said, well, I didn't heard it. I have. I know this. I know that. I know. If you know everything, then you would listen.
He's somewhere paranoid. He won't let the conversation be.
Yeah.
The conversation is 50% talking,
50% listening.
If you don't do it that way, then it's
got to be, the conversation got to be basically, got to have a rhythm. You got to have a rhythm through the conversation. But I guess he think that me and you, I guess he some type of way he has listened to our archives. He may be perceiving, he might be paranoid. I think he perceiving that he got to really talk real fast with us because it sounds like we slick talking something in the comment. He can't figure out what we, I think that may be what it is. He said, if you don't know the history, you're doomed to repeat it. He in the chat. He said he served 21 years in the military job, and the military job is to control other nations. Well,
anyway, what we're trying to do is get back to the election. We want him to run. Most thing we can say is, hey, we need for people to go out and pray. and ask God who they should vote for.
But the only thing about him, I notice about him that he makes fun of, and I would advise him to be careful of. He said, "Why we Negroes over here praying, white folks getting guns?" See, what he don't realize, God can stop this stuff right now, if he so choose to be. But God not gonna. If you don't understand what somebody doing to you, why should God stop it? Yeah, God want other people around you to understand it when he get ready to stop things. You know, it's not a thing that's going to just be stopped like that. God can stop to take him. God can stop this right now. He can, you know, in other words, he can take the white folk guns if he so choose. He can take them. And so, like you were saying earlier, he made that, you know, and a lot of men, black men, have a problem with praying. When he said, take the resources from the nations.
Hey, but we got to pray and go out and get out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. And we want to tell everybody good night. God bless you. Pray for us, and we'll pray for you, and we'll. It's in God's will. We'll be back tomorrow. We have our church program, which is the Universal Science Church of God. We try to have it in the mornings. And so tune in to our Bible study. And sometimes we have to have it at night. It just depends on our schedule. But that's what happened when you, under the persecution, especially from homosexuals. He said, read the 13th Amendment. It is only two sentences long. And I want you to start reading, go to your Bible, go from the book of Genesis, and go to the end of Revelation. And we can probably assist you with that through the Universal Science Church of God if you apply that. And that's the best book to read. Good night. God bless.